Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live and Well, Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Thank you so much for being here today. We give God praise. We give him honor. We give him glory. We bless his name. For truly God is worthy to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, his name shall be declared. Glory, honor, and power belong to him, and we give him praise. We bless his name. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Those of you who are in the building and those online, we thank God for you, you, and especially you. We greet you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop Groot W. Smith, and we welcome you today. Pray that God would give you something that would help you on your journey. Amen. Because we are in this world, but not of this world. Hallelujah. And we thank God for all that he's doing with us and through us. Light of the World is located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. If you want to join us, you can always join us online, YouTube, or come into light.org, or you can come into the building in the presence of God and have a glorious time. We have service on Wednesdays at noonday. We have it at Wednesday at 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 10 o'clock. Hallelujah. So you can come and join us, and I guarantee you God will have something just for you. And we give him praise. We give him honor and glory. And today we are in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into studying Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise.
Give God glory. Come on, give him praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For another day and another opportunity that we can lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you, God, and we glorify you, Lord. We magnify your name, God. You are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence, Lord God, to study your word, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, but able to rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, God, for
thank
giving
you,
us an ear to hear, a heart to receive what you are saying
thank
to
you,
us
Lord.
On today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God, for clarity that may be concerned about some things concerning the word, Lord God. Bring clarity and understanding to us in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. Lord God, we praise you. We honor you for those that are in-house. We thank you for those that are online. Mm-hmm. We thank you for those that may listen to this at another time. Oh, God, we just give you glory. We just give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay, of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And all my life you have been faithful.
Because truly he has been faithful. Hallelujah. I can't talk about you, but I can sure talk about me. And I give him praise. I give him honor and I give him glory. I bless his name. Hallelujah. And we pray, amen, that you feel grateful for the goodness of God. Because truly he has been faithful to all of us. He woke us up this morning. Hallelujah. Protected us and brought us here. Amen. So we thank God for you, you, and especially you. Today we're in Romans 8, and we're going to begin, I believe, at verse 12. But we're going to do a little review, and hopefully we get right into it. Paul started out this chapter by letting the Jews know, the church in Rome know that there is now, therefore, no more condemnation. If you walk after the Spirit, if you are filled with the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation because every wrong you have done, that the penalty has been satisfied. So now there's nobody can accuse you of those things anymore because the debt has been paid. You know, it's just like somebody, you done paid off a car and they trying to repo it. And all you do is just show them your title. They got to back off, right? So the same way the Holy Ghost is our title. That is, the devil try to come and repossess something, we can just show him the Holy Ghost. That we don't have to succumb to his tricks anymore because now we are under new management. Woo, glory. We are under new ownership. Hallelujah. And you know, a lot of times when companies buy or merge other companies, sometimes they have to bring that name along for a period of time so everybody can get to know them. But I'm so glad that we can just lay aside Satan's tool and don't have to pick it up no more because now we are under new management. We are under new ownership. Hallelujah. And we are now... And we're going to find out later on, we are now sons of God because of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. And he began to tell them that now you have to be focused on the Spirit because the flesh does not profit anything because the flesh has been condemned to die. Ever since Adam sinned, and death is the separation of man from God. That's eternal death. The physical death is because of time. It's only because of time. Time has, we said last week, has an expiration. And so everything in time will end because that's what time is. Eternity is forever. So now when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, now we have life eternal. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have life everlasting, right? We have life eternal now. And so those who do not walk after the spirit and walk after the flesh, they have life but separated from God eternally. So we are privileged, and Paul let us know that we are privileged when we become a part of the kingdom of God. We have life. We have something to look forward to. And it's above and beyond just time. I want to say this life, but I'm going to say time. It's past beyond time. And so there is no limit. That's why Paul told the Thessalonians church that comfort ye with the saying that if you die without hope, then you're a man with most miserable, but we have hope beyond the grave, right? So we have hope beyond the grave, and this body is condemned to die. But that's not who we are. We are soul. We are spirit beings. And so our soul has to be saved and regenerated so we could become the sons of God. And so Paul is saying that be not carnal-minded, because carnal mind is death. And we talked about it last week, the carnal, and we say flesh or carnal, it does not mean the physical flesh, but it means the carnal soul of man, the natural man's soul that is corrupt from his inheritance and throughout what he has learned since he's been on earth. That corrupts our soul, so our soul needs to be saved. When our soul get converted, then now our life is in another, under new management, because now Christ, we belongs to Christ. We're no longer our own. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Let not I, but the Christ live in me. I don't live no more. I don't live for myself anymore. I'm focused on living for Christ. And so we have to be mindful. That's why we come to church, so we can be educated and get more mature in the things of God, so we can fulfill the will of God in our lives. Because God have a will for every one of us in our own lives. The will of God for me is different from the will of God for you. So we have to seek and find out what the will of God is for us. And that is, we wouldn't walk after this flesh. We would walk after the spirit. And so he began to wrap it up and says, he began to say, now the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And if we could ever get that in our brain and see what that really means, that the power of God, which is the Holy Ghost, that defied death. The worst thing that could happen to a person on earth is to die. Right? I believe. That's the extent of it. I mean, you dead, that's it. And we if you live according to this life, we fear death. But if you live according to the Spirit, death has no control over you, because death just gives you can really start to live after death, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, but if we understand that the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is abiding in us, then what can really harm us? What can really hurt us or destroy us if that power dwells in us? That defied death, that defies anything. It even commanded the atmosphere to get in control when he said, peace be still to the storm. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that did that. So that's why he said, if we can decree a thing, and it shall be so. Because we have this power inside of us. So we don't want to go back to the flesh. We don't want to go back to that life that we were living, because we have now an aid that can assist us in doing what we need to do. So, and he began to say, if Christ in you, then the body is dead. The body is dead not because the flesh is dead now. What he means is that carnal part of you is dead. You're living down in the spirit. Because we know even though we are walking, even though we are spiritually minded, we still have to do fleshly things, carnal things. But this carnal things is not our purpose. It's not our, it's not what we live for. It's just something that we have to do because that's part of what the flesh calls for. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, but so we have this power in us. So now having the power is one thing. And you know, I watched a program called Shazam, where this guy had this superpower, but he didn't understand how to work. And so he was bumping himself all around and doing stuff that he didn't understand because he didn't know how to do it. And so we come to church to come to Bible study and come to service so we can understand how to use this superpower that's in us. Because if we got to get mature and understand how to use what we got. Because God has given us the power and he gives us the Spirit of God, but we have to strive to understand the power that's in us. And so Paul is saying now, the spirit that's in you, you got to understand what you got. It'll quicken your mortal body. It'll stir you up. It will do these things because the spirit dwell in you. So it'll quicken you. It'll give you energy. It'll heal your body. It'll do all these things to your mortal body, to your physical body, but you live for the spirit, not for the flesh. But because we're living in the flesh, we have to make sure that the Spirit of God will then also vitalize our natural body. Okay? Any comment on that? Any comment? Good. Everybody good? Those of you online, if you want to comment, please press 1. So we can bring you live, so you can have, we can hear what you want to say. We want to hear from you. So please just press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. Amen. Go ahead.
God has put his spirit on the inside of us, and we probably don't really be thinking about that as much. That God has put his spirit in front of us, and like there are temptations and trials and tribulations and things that come our way. But because of the power that he has placed on the inside of us, we have the power over it. We have the power to conquer it because that's why he talks about no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. That's why he lets us know that we don't have to stay in our sin and stay in our stuff, because when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior inside of us, his spirit, that we have power now to overcome whatever it is that may come our way. Then we have to understand that he allows the things to come our way. And so he wants us to handle whatever is coming our way. And so, you know what the scriptures say, he won't put no more on you than you can bear. So because he won't put any more on you than you can bear, that means that he has put his power inside of us. He is not going to give me more than I can conquer. You understand what I'm saying? Now you're conquering something will be different from mine. But see, he will only allow what I can conquer to come to me. So that's why God is so good that he has trained us and he has given us his spirit, he has given us his son to help us along this journey. Amen.
And you know, a lot of times, sometimes we fail in those tests. And we saying, well, God, you said you won't put no more on me I can bear. So why you put this on me and I failed?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't be careful, we look at it as failure, but it's not. It's a lesson. Because everything that happens to you, God want to educate you. He want to mature you and bring you up. And so if you don't fall, how you know how it feels to get up? If the rain don't come, how you know this is what the sunshine feels like? And so God will put, God may allow things to happen in your life that you might think you failed at because, oh, I missed God. Oh, I didn't do that. And God, but now because the spirit in you saying, oh, you missed God. So now you're going to start thinking, what should I have done in this situation? So now you are going to, when that test comes the next time, guess what? You're going to recognize it. I know what to do now. So God didn't pull you up, but you thought it was pushing you down. So anytime things happen to us, we got to know if we are called of God, all things work together for our good. We got to see that. We got to see that. Even though it looks like it's a bad thing, it's still working for your good. I mean, when Joseph was sold as a slave, it looked like a bad thing. Right? I mean, why God doing this to me? Right? But it was to get him to destiny. His destiny was not in Canaan where he was. His destiny was in Egypt. Because he even died there. Okay? So whatever comes into our lives, we got to know if we are called of God, God is putting stuff in our lives to help us in some kind of way. Even though it looks like it's a failure. It looks like I missed God. It looks like whatever. It's teaching us something. And then it's a testimony for somebody else too. So when no matter what we go through in life, we got to also see it that once we know that our heart and mind is just to please God, you know, everything that comes to us, God is allowing that to happen to get us to another place. And, you know, in order for you to get people to move, a lot of times you got to do some stuff on. You know, sometimes people don't like to quit. God say, quit that job. Yeah, no, I love this job. But God, best job. Yeah. And so God allows somebody to fire you. You know, oh, God. But he already told you to walk off, and you try to say, I ain't leaving my good job. You know? But God got a way to eventually get you the way you need to be. Because he likes it.
And another point is, like Pastor Butterfield is saying, sometimes we feel like we have failed ourselves or failed God or missed the marker. But you can measure that by something. And that is whether or not you are now praying, whether or not that situation or that circumstance now is causing you to pray more so that you know that, God, I don't want to miss you again. If that situation is causing you to be praying, don't worry about what you did not do. Because really, what's been done, that is what was supposed to happen. And it brought you to a place of prayer. And that's where God wants us to get us closer. So in prayer, we get closer and closer and closer unto him. So just think about if something happened in your life and you thought you missed it, don't worry about it. If you are praying and you seeking God still, you are on the mark. Okay?
Amen. Amen. We see we have two hands raised. First one is your area code is 404. Last four digits is 3699. You are now live on the air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, I just wanted to, I guess, kind of piggyback on what you said is that we know that God's intention for everyone of us is to be like Christ. And even gave us some help. He sent the Holy Spirit to us so that we can be alive and actively at work in what God has for us to do in his life. So he's present there to help us in any way that we need help. He gives us living water, and that's something that he's never going to take back. And so it's his intention that we should be like God because he created us in God's image. And so the circumstances that we come upon in our life, they are purposed by God. And like you said, even though we feel like it hurts sometimes or it, you know, upsets us, but if we just walk on through it, when we get through it, we'll realize that this helped me. I understand why I had to go through this now. I understand that God was in actuality saving my life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
We see we have somebody else.
Good job.
Keep your line open. And we have somebody else. The area code is 678. Last 4 digits is 8259. You're now live on the air.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, how you doing?
This is Joseph. Yes, this is Joseph. I just wanted to, again, piggyback on what you were saying about Joseph. Now, listen, Joseph, Abraham had two kids. He had Isaac and Ishmael. The descendants of Ishmael were the Ishmaelites. And it was the Ishmaelites who Joseph was sold when he was in that cave or wherever he was. They had him captive. He was sold to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites were descendants of Ishmael. So I just want to emphasize again what you've already said. What looks like disaster doesn't always, is not necessarily always disaster. Keep an open mind and let God do his work. Stay out of the God business and let him do his will.
Amen. Amen. We have somebody
Amen.
Else in queue.
Amen. Thank
your
you.
Your area code is 47470. Last 4 digits is 1414. You're not live on the air.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Butterfield and Pastor Butterfield, female Butterfield. This is Pastor King. How are you all doing today? Amen. I have enjoyed what I've been hearing. I had to take a break from the crew to come in and join in with you all. And, you know, I'm a little late, but guess what? I'm here. Amen. And what I've been hearing is good. And I like this passage of scripture that, you know, you're studying on. But one thing that I was reminded is that, you know, the life that we live is not our own life. If we're in Christ, the word tells us that Christ liveth in us. And this is why we live, right? So therefore, the law of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, which is Christ Jesus, and he died for our sins. He took away the sins of the world so that we wouldn't have to be carnal in everything that we do, and we could be more or less spiritual-minded about the things that Christ Jesus wants us to do. Not saying that we would not fall short sometimes, which we do, but if we do, then we have the Holy Spirit that will, what, bring us back into the being of Christ Jesus, so we won't have to stay out there all the time. You probably have heard people say that, well, I fell short, or you know, the devil made me do it. But you don't have to stay in there. You're not carnal anymore. So therefore, you know, you have the Spirit of Christ that will bring you out of that carnality that you're in. And you know, we're obligated to live like Christ Jesus. And I use that word. That's the word that means a lot. We're obligated to live like Christ Jesus. If we live like him, then guess what? We won't have to worry about walking after those things that are cardinal minded. We won't have to worry about dealing with fleshy things, okay? Of course, you know, there are times that we will be attacked by Satan. But guess what? We have the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to defeat Satan. And therefore,
right.
we don't have to worry about allowing Satan to control and rule our lives, because we have dominion over him. And you know, I just want to join in and share that, you know, with you all, because I like this passage of scripture that you all are studying today, that we are studying. Amen.
So, appreciate it, man. Keep
I just want to say that.
I know you're at work, but keep listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so we're gonna read verse 12 and 13, Elder Davis. 12 and 13.
Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul in these few scriptures use the word if a lot. If you be in Christ Jesus, if the Spirit lives in you, then this is what you can do, not because of the flesh. It's because of the Spirit that lived in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he'll raise up. That same Spirit will cause us to mortify our bodies. You can't do it by yourself. You
That's
can't
right.
do it alone.
That's the Spirit.
You can try.
That's right. Yeah.
Some things you can ask God for, he'll take it away instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Some things he will allow to stay with you and prick at you and pick at you, like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient.
My Lord.
The thing that he took away from me, first time I prayed, it may take you years to for God to remove it, but while he's doing that, he's teaching you something. He's strengthening you. He's getting you out of the flesh, trying to show you there are some people who never seem to have a problem in life with anything, and some don't. So some people learn the first time what they should have learned. I used to ask myself, why do I keep going through the same thing at the same time every year, and my wife never had a problem with it. Well, because I never learned. Grandma used to say, hard head will make a soft butt, soft hand. I didn't learn what I was supposed to learn the first time I fell off the bicycle, the first time I fell off the horse. First time I got kicked by the mule, I didn't learn that I shouldn't walk behind the mule. But when I got kicked, then I learned. Well, that's the same way through life. It's different things, as what they say, different spoke for different folks. You learn according to your own ability. God has given some people different ability, but he's given all of us a measure of faith, and some people learn from that first measure. Like Abraham was, they say faith was credited to him. But Abraham was able to look into the future, and he saw some things that most of us don't see. But we have the same opportunity to look into the future if we want to receive and accept it. A lot of us, we go through the same thing. We want to hear from God we want God to tell us good things, evil things, and all that. We want God to bless us and give us all these earthly treasures they talk about. in the Bible. But you still have to go through what's called this process in life. I think a lot of our young folks having a problem going through the process that we went through when we were coming up, that our grandparents went through when they were coming up. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, then this war that they talk about in Galatians 5, the flesh and the spirit war one against the other, one trying to get you to do right, one trying to get you to do wrong. What you have to understand about that is most days you're going to win in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But some days that war with the flesh, you're not going to win it, or you're going to struggle to win it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's good. Mm-hmm. You got some?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Paul is saying, remember he's saying now, you got to do it by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
And so he's saying that now we are no longer debtors. We are no longer slaves, he used it. We are no longer slaves to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we want to cherish this flesh and build on this flesh, protect this flesh. And protecting this flesh is a prideful thing,
mm-hmm.
where you don't want your feelings hurt. You don't want to be looked down. You don't want to be considered a low estate. Mm-hmm. You want to be on the mountaintop. You want to be considered as somebody great. That's fleshly. That's carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that Jesus demonstrated humility,
mm-hmm.
by coming down, putting on this likeness of sinful flesh, and walk on earth like we are. And so he that's why the Bible say, "Let this mind be in you." That was also in Christ Jesus. that who didn't think it robbery to take on this sinful flesh. And so he's not concerned about glorying in the flesh. And so we get caught up by trying to submit to the desires of the flesh, but that's why the Holy Ghost is there. the flesh is going to feed the flesh. That's why he said, if you walk after the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. But when we walk in the Spirit now going to be contradicting to the flesh and say, no, that's not you. What you need to do. You don't need to be concerned about that. So what if they talk about you? Love them anyway. And you say, now I need to defend myself. No, hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. Because now, if you're in the flesh, you're going to take matters in your own hands. Like we tell the kids all day long, do not take matters in your own hands. There's a place for people like that. The right, you got to make sure that the right authority is taken what they need to do, rather than you doing. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. Let the Holy Ghost direct. Don't take matters in your own hand. Well, I'm going to take care of this. The joke, he cost me. He did this to me. I'm going to take this in matters of my own. You can't do that because we are no longer our own. We're under new management, y'all. We're under new ownership. So it ain't about what the old man was trying to do. We crucifying him every day. And the only thing that can crucify the flesh is the Spirit. Because listen to what he said. Because the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body. The Spirit is the one that's going to kill the flesh. Not you. You can't do it. Because you're going to tell the flesh, yeah, man, you're doing good. Yeah, ain't nothing like you. Yeah, man, you got it going on. That's what the flesh going to tell you. But the Spirit is the one that's going to show you what's going on. And so we want to make sure that we know that is not, we cannot walk after the flesh. The flesh is going to die. The flesh pursue death because that's what the sentence on the flesh is. The flesh can't help itself. God commanded the flesh to die. So what is it going to do? It's got to die. And I'm not even talking about the natural day. I'm talking about being separated from God. Because that's what Jesus felt on the cross. He wasn't talking about the physical death. The physical death didn't bother him because he knew he was going to come through that. But when he was on the cross, he was separated from God. So just like a sinner was separated from God, Jesus was separated that same moment on the cross. That's why he said, my God. He didn't say, my Father now. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Because now I'm separated from you. And so this death we don't want. We want life to be with God eternally. And so we better know that we cannot afford to live after the flesh, live after carnal stuff, live after things that are not conducive to the spirit. Because if it's carnal minded, it is death, it's going to die. And so we shouldn't pursue the stuff that nobody in your right mind is going to go after something that's going to wither up. You'll try to keep it alive as much as possible. But if you know it's going to die, you're just going to just keep feeding something that's dead already. Why would you go in the tomb and get somebody some food and their body decay? You ain't going to do that. You look crazy doing that, right? But we do that trying to make sure this body is well taken care of and your soul going to lack. We got to make sure that our soul gets fed. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we have devotion. That's why we do these things to build up ourselves and our spirit man, to get our spirit man mature. And so we got to make sure. Any comment out there? Those of you out there, want here, if you have any comment on this this last part, this verse 12 and 13. Any comment out there? Opinions? No? Okay, we're gonna move on to verse 14 and 15. 14 and 15.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoptionship, and by him we cry, Abba. Father, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are the children, then we are here. And basically, this is saying, as you indicated, we are the children of God, and if we're the children of God, then we can't do fleshly things. Because by accepting him, we are adopted into the relationship of Christ.
Right.
For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We say, Daddy. The Spirit itself bear witness with your spirit that ye are children of God. Now, it's amazing to me that even when we look at physical, we can see spiritual. Because one of the things to me now, my wife, to me, don't look exactly like that. If you take a photo and you put them together, you can tell their family. People, when they see bishops, they said, is that Pastor Lee? I mean, is that Pastor Ann? Because now the natural looking at it is not necessarily the same. But because there's a spirit, it looks it looks the same. You could have a husband and wife who's been married for a long time. They have a bond. When you see one, automatically you see the other one. And they don't have to look physically alike, but they look alike. Because it ain't in the flesh, it's in the spirit. So now, if we are children of God, if we are children of God, when somebody see us, they see God. Because you got your daddy's eyes. You got your daddy's features. You got your daddy's walk. You got your daddy's talk. Because that's who you are. You ain't trying to pretend to be something. That's who you are. Bass, your children don't have to try to act like bass children. That's who they are. And when somebody sees them, automatically they know. I know you from somewhere. Because I saw your daddy. And so if they see us, they ought to see God. Because if they see us, they ought to see God. Because now we are sons and children of God. Because why? We are led by what? By the Spirit. It ain't by what we physically do. It's by the Spirit that leads us. It's the Spirit that teaches us how to walk, how to talk, what to say, how to think. How should we consider? When somebody says something to us, how should we respond? When the Spirit is alive in you, it'll tell you how to respond. So when you respond, that person automatically going to recognize God. You don't want to do the work, but they recognize God. even in sports, some teams have a culture. They have a way of doing things. And so when a play is done, you can say, well, that's Belichick's system that he's running. That's this one's system, because they all have a culture. The same thing if you are born again. There's a culture that those people are going to love you. Even when you despisefully use them, they're going to love you. They ain't going to, when you cross their path, they're going to extend love to you. Now, if you don't, then you fail in God. So now we got to repent. And so whatever we do, if we walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of flesh. Because when somebody get on your last nerve, if you're walking in the Spirit, you don't think about your feelings, because that's common. You think about how would I represent God in this moment? But you're automatically going to think, well, I slept. No, because that's common. But if you're walking after the Spirit, see, you got to walk after the Spirit intentionally. You can't just willy-nilly walk after the Spirit. You got to intentionally walk after the Spirit, because stuff comes to you in your mind in a minute. You don't be careful, boy. But what? You take somebody's head off. But you got to intentionally walk in the Spirit. Intentionally. When you go somewhere, God, kept my mind. When you see stuff coming, Lord, help me. Help me now. Because, you know, this flesh will stand up. It will stand up. So if we are children of God, when people see us and they hear us, whatever, they can say, something about you. Strangers you will meet you and say, there's something about you. They may not be able to tell what it is right away, but they know you're different because the Spirit of God is in you. And so people we kept in the bus when I used to work for Grady Hospital. He walked to me. You're a preacher? He said, yeah. Why you said that? I just can tell. I can tell. It ain't nothing I was doing. I was in hanging my Bible flopped over, and, you know. but they just can tell. And so when you're born of the Spirit, the Spirit bear witness. You know what witness is, right? Tells you, hey, this he belongs to my daddy. She belongs to my daddy. So it bear witness, the Spirit bear witness in you that you are a child of God. And whoever is led, that's the key word, You got to be led by the Spirit. Amen. It's something you want to do. You know, we want to do the opposite of what the Spirit says. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are now the sons of God. Now, the thing about adoption I like about adoption is when you're born into a family, they just accept them. But when somebody adopts, they don't pick you out. They have to choose you. So God, in his great power, chose us to be his because we adopted. We weren't just born into a family. Because when you're born into a family, you don't even know it's going to be a girl or a boy. When it comes, when you figure out it, do the sonogram, then you figure out it's a girl or a boy, right? You ain't know that. But when you when you're chosen, God comes and says, I want that one. Now, that's a good feeling. If somebody choosing you to be in their family, you know what I'm saying? That's you are a choice. You not just came. Like your child born from birth, they just came. Right? But when you go and you decide, I want that. I see them now. That's what you do.
when you adopted into a family, there's a legal process. And legally, you have the same rights being adopted into a family mm-hmm. as a child that was born into mm-hmm. a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God says that we are joint heirs mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What he has, we have. And the power that he has, we have it.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't know it or we don't believe it,
mm-hmm.
The Bible also says in John 1:11, he went to his own,
mm-hmm.
and his own received him not.
Mm-hmm.
But as many as received him, he gave him the power to become the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we can be adopted into it. But whatever you do, you have to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
To receive it, you have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say you believe it, and don't act like you believe it and don't. But God knows who's playing games, who's chucking and jiving, who's skinning and grinning and all this stuff. He wants to pat on the back. He wants to be seen by man. But as many as receive him, see, in order for the Holy Spirit to come in you or upon you or with you, you got to receive it. And he knows because it says when you pray, and you don't know what to pray for,
right.
He intercedes for us with murmuring
mm-hmm.
that can't be understood.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to receive, you have to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And once you believe and you receive the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. he says that he will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path,
mm-hmm.
that you can see the tricks and the traps of the devil,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have to stumble. Well, you're going to stumble. You may even fall. But when you fall, you get up. But you know you got a helper to help you get up.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will lead you. He will also chasten you. He will pat you, hit you on the hand, and say, don't do that. He leave you down the road if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to force you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to trip you. He's not going to wave a stick in front of your eyes and hypnotize you and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do like Satan. Show you all of these promises when Satan took Jesus on the temple. But the thing about Satan is he didn't own none of the stuff
mm-hmm.
that he showed Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything that God says in this book is true and it's real. He's the author of all good and precious, everything that was right and good for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do anything to us or show us anything that he's not using to train us or teach us.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Right.
He has not been given the spirit of bondage to give. Now, the spirit of fear is what Satan uses to persuade us to doubt God. We have to know that we are now children of God. If you know that you are son of the person or the individual that owns everything, earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? The world and the world. So you are a heir, and we try not to get to the next verse because that's what it talks about, the heir. But you don't have to fear about anything if your daddy can do everything. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If your daddy can do everything, I know when you go growing up as a kid and you got a daddy who everybody in the neighborhood is scared of, you know, sometimes you act out of order because you say, hey, I'll just call my dad. I just call my big brother. And so if we have the confidence that God is our father and he can do everything, he can do everything. So now I don't have to have the spirit of fear anymore. We can be bold in what I believe. I don't have to be take down or whatever. I can be bold in expressing that I don't have to fear anymore. I wouldn't live reckless, but I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to doubt what God can do. I know what he can do because I got a relationship with him. He adopted me in the family. He called me his own. And so, and the spirit is the one that bear witness that I'm his own. I don't have to guess whether I'm a son of God. Nobody, I don't have to wait for somebody to tell me you're a son of God. I ought to know. And that's why I said that when the spirit does it, we can now say, Abba, Father. Because now he ain't just your father, but he's your daddy. You got a relationship now. Closer now, he is your daddy. So the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, I'm no longer a servant. I'm not longer a friend. I'm your child. There's a big difference between your servant and your child. The children can always be there, but the servant can go. You can dismiss a servant anytime you're ready, right? But the child would always have a relationship with you. So we have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God bear witness that we are his children. And so it bear witness to our spirit. So we ought to know that we're a child of God. If we don't know that, and that's all Satan tried to do with us on earth, is sway us that God, we are not children of God. He's trying to deceive us that God, we are not his children. That's why he accused us. He's accused of the brother. See, you did this over there. See, you did that. But Paul began this chapter by saying what? Therefore now, no condemnation. So Satan ain't got nothing to tell you because now there's no condemnation. What you going to do? Accuse me all day. Ain't no condemnation. So I don't have to be swayed or have fear on me because of you accusing me of something because I was covered in the blood. And Satan's whole device is to fool us that, you're going to pay for what you do, but my soul's going to be saved. I ain't going to hell with you, Satan. So we don't be careful. Satan will confuse us and let us feel the fear that we are lost and we are not going to live for Christ. But I'm so glad that therefore now there's no condemnation. So after 1 o'clock, come on and clap your hands for Jesus. Amen, amen. So next week we'll start on verse 17. Ella Davis started to go on being heirs of God. And we got to know the Spirit of God is one that makes us heir. Because he told Nicodemus, you got to be born of the Spirit.
Other than that, you can't even see the kingdom, let alone enter the kingdom. You can't even see the kingdom unless you're born of the Spirit. So it's got to be Spirit. And that's all Paul is trying to tell this Roman church is your flesh ain't going to do it. It's got to be Spirit. You got to have the Holy Ghost. And so we're so glad that we're in a church that believe in the Holy Ghost, because some churches don't believe it. But we thank God that we're in a place that believe the Holy Spirit and believe that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a paraclete, a helpmeet. Amen. So we can, and a comforter, that we can live this life and please God. Amen. And want to know whether there's any last thing for those of you online. Any last things you guys want to say? Ella Q?
Yes, sir, doctor.
Any last thing before we go? It's 1 o'clock now. We gotta close out. But we know that we are.
Can you hear me?
Oh yeah, we hear you.
Hello. Okay. Yeah,
we hear you.
I didn't know I had to go. All right. Yeah. Just one final word I want to say is that you know, we realize the fact that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. And when we use what God has given us, then we are agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Now Satan uses those fear tactics to try to draw us back or to run us back to where he wants us, or to back into the world, so we can dwell on those things that are carnal. And that's why we have so much violence in our society today, because of the fact that he's using these fear tactics to try to draw us away from Christ, bring us back to where he is, and then he will destroy us by doing that. So when we realize that God didn't give us that spirit of fear, we must exercise the gift that God has given us, you see, because of the fact that he has given us to us, we can walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And Paul tell us to crucify the flesh on a daily basis, so that we won't have to dwell on those things that are carnal and are sinful.
That's right.
And we crucify the flesh, then we will dwell on those things that are spirit. You see, we can't discern the things that are spiritual if we are not spiritual. So we have to discern the spiritual things that God has given us by the Spirit. He says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. And when we try the Spirit by the Spirit, then we can discern the things that are of God, those things that are true, things that are edifying and uplifting, things that will bring joy into our lives. And we realize that, you know, we will become heirs of God, sons and daughters of God, if we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I really enjoyed this. And I'm going to have to take more breaks.
All right, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Amen. Elder Binion, you have any last comment?
I just want to say that we have a helper, so we don't have to lean on our own understanding. We don't have to try to think what to do. All we do is turn over whatever the situation is in our life, turn it over to him, because he's the helper, and that's what we have to remember.
Amen.
We don't have to do it by ourselves. We have a helper.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Amen, amen. So now is our offering time. Those of you who want to pay your tithes, you can go ahead online, or and you got the app. Go ahead and pay it. And if you, go online and pay it. And then if you do go online and pay it, just send the amount to text to 770-906-0607, 770-906-0607, so we can count that for Noonday Bible Study. Thank you all so much, amen, for participating. Thank God for your offering. We ask God to bless this offering in the name of Jesus. May it multiply. You said if we give, it should be given unto us. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, running over, should men give to our bosom. We thank you. We receive that. As we bless, as we give the seed, oh God, we ask you to bless it, that the administration of it, oh God, let it go far in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, God, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next Wednesday, same time, same place. Amen.